we love God's word. And it's not because it's just like, oh, we worship this word. This is the inspired word of God that takes us to the heart of who Jesus is. And so we are desperate for his truth, his teaching, fancy words, doctrine, his teaching. And what's actually really interesting when you think about teaching, we've seen in another place in the scriptures and Mark, when we were looking through some of it, Jesus came teaching over and over and over. Why? Because when you are being taught and you're being like shown somebody, teaching, theology is growing in intimacy with the knowledge of that person. And so this is why the teaching, the doctrine, the truth matters so much, because you're learning the intimacy of who Jesus is. And so we desperately need it. Like, we need an injection from the outside of real truth, real beauty, of what matters most. Like, so let's go back and look at this. Like, what do I mean? Last week we looked at this passage in Acts 8 about Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. Some of you here, some of you weren't. Totally fine. In this story, you've got this guy Philip who is given this task to be in the church, to be a deacon. But there's all this violence happening because those that are in Jesus are being like strategically and violently attacked by this guy named Saul, who turns into Paul eventually. And so everyone is scattering except for the apostles. And we see that Philip goes to this town in Samaria, and it's like 40 miles away. Well, out of like suffering and pain and being pushed out, do they hide? No. Philip's life has been so changed by the person of Jesus, he can't but share it. Samaria, who historically were thought of as dogs to the Jewish people, outsiders, the whole city starts to change. It's crazy. And then we see in that story that an angel comes. We're like, we don't need, what's happening here? We don't, you know, we're not even going to go into that. It's a tangent. But like, angel comes and tells Philip, I'm taking you, I want you to go from this place that's just crushing it to this desert place. And just go. And so Philip goes, and he is uniquely positioned. He's the right man for the right time in the right place. And he meets this Ethiopian eunuch. Now, on a little sidebar tangent, sometimes in life, I have heard people, particularly people in the church, and so you're still figuring out and you're kind of new coming in, like, this isn't exactly for you, but it might hit you in some ways too. Sometimes in life, you can feel like maybe like, I'm going to miss something. I'm going to miss what God has for me. Or I've got to, I feel all this burden or pressure that if I don't make these decisions, or if I don't see it, like, what's going to happen? And let me just tell you one thing. Take a breath. God is so much more than you. Like, you really matter, as you see Philip in this passage, but he is so much more than you. And his strategies and things he's doing, they aren't burden-giving, they're burden-lifting, they're life-giving, they're joy-producing because of what the truth is, good news, a changed life. All right, end of sidebar. So here's Philip, and he sees the Ethiopian eunuch, and the angel says, go speak to him. And so he goes, and here in this place, the Ethiopian eunuch, here is a guy that we learned last week, because of his race and because of what has happened to his own physical body being a eunuch, he is considered a complete outsider. He had gone to Jerusalem to go and worship in the temple, and he can't go very far in there because as a outsider, as a Gentile, as someone who can't come into this place, he's on the outside looking in. And let me just clarify this. It's who he is. He himself, to this position, to this place, is an outsider. And we touched on last week, we all know on some capacity, some level, what it means to be an outsider. Where the definition between guilt and shame is, guilt is I did something wrong. Shame is I am wrong. There's something wrong with me. Like I remember years ago, someone came to me and I'm in a conversation and they had never really been in the church at all. And their words were literally, I am wrong. There's something so wrong with me. I could never be loved. That's actually right where Jesus meets you. That's the place. And so here you see this Ethiopian eunuch reading the scriptures still. He's reading this role as in Isaiah. And remember, he's this high status guy. He's the treasury to the queen in Ethiopia, yet still an outsider. And so he reads this. Like a sheep, he was led to slaughter. Like a lamb before its shearer is silent. So he opens not his mouth. In humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can be described his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth. Right here, Philip was brought to this moment where this guy's curious, even though there's something wrong. He is on the outside. Who's this about? And Philip's right there. Right? Like, this is God's working. This isn't because Philip had himself so together, right? Like, this is God's strategy doing things in ways we can't understand. And Philip just has to open his mouth. And I think what's so amazing is it isn't that, like, oh man, it's just an idea that you can be seen by Jesus, or an idea or a truth in some way that just kind of like impacts you a little bit. Like, we have been so on the outside, or we can feel so much we're unworthy, or we believe that truth that we just aren't enough. There's something literally wrong with me. And you've got to hear, Jesus actually wants to meet that place in you. And here's how we know. Because we talked about it a little bit last week, and I wanted to highlight it again and really get after it, is we don't know how long that conversation was between Philip and the Ethiopian. But very likely, I'm not saying this happened, but very likely, because Philip knew the passage, he knew what he was reading, he would also know things that were after that. And so here are the specific words two chapters later, and Debbie is going to read them for us. This is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 56, verses 3 through 8. This is very likely what the eunuch would have heard from Philip as he would have read through the scroll of Isaiah. Go ahead, Debbie.
Let not the foreigner who has joined himself to the Lord say, the Lord will surely separate me from his people. And let not the eunuch say, behold, I am a dry tree.
I'm just going to pause 1 second. Adults should understand what that means. I'm not a dry tree, speaking of the eunuch. Okay? Get me? Continue.
For thus says the Lord, to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths, who choose the things that please me and hold fast my covenant, I will give in my house and within my walls a monument and a name better than sons and daughters.
I'm going to pause you real quick. Hear that again. You are an outsider. You don't have a name. You don't have a place. And it's literally saying a better than sons and daughters. This is wild. Keep going.
I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off.
Hear that again. Sorry, Debbie. I just keep interrupting inappropriately. Cut off. Again. Very specific language to a eunuch. Go ahead.
And the foreigners who join themselves to the Lord to minister to him, to love the name of the Lord, and to be his servants. Everyone who keeps the Sabbath and does not profane it and holds fast my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar. For my house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples. The Lord God, who gathers the outcasts of Israel, declares, I will gather yet others to him besides those already gathered.
This isn't just like, oh, I can get you in the door. Language. This is at the core of what you are and what you see as being wrong and what others have said is wrong about you. The word literally breathes life and truth and identity into you. This is the good news. Like, this is why we say at Emmanuel, we love God's word. We need his truth, his doctrine to inject into us. Because otherwise, it's just, it is what it is. And it's not, it is what it is. He is a truth. His word comes in from the outside and shows you the reality of how loved you are, how intimately he sees you, and how he meets you in such intimate ways. This is giving you a new identity in him. So, at Emmanuel, we also know that doctrine, these teachings, if they're just here, if it's just an information, if Philip was just there being like, yeah, that's Jesus, it's just cold, right? Like, after hearing that, you're like, that doesn't even make sense. How could Philip just be like, hope something works out for you? Go, you do you. And you're like, that doesn't even, you can't even know. It doesn't even make sense. This is so personal, so meeting him. So, if you just think it's a truth or a doctrine, if you just think it's that, then here's what will happen to you. You will feel great burden all the time. You will become extremely judgmental. And you will also just kind of push people out because they're not as good. They're less than you. You will start putting burdens on others in ways that aren't like what Christ is doing to bring in. So that creates a gospel culture. The doctrine, the teachings, Jesus, they have to tap into us and start to change us. We start becoming a people that operate differently, that respond differently, that people taste something very different because they're tasting not us, they're tasting Jesus in us. So, why? Why is this important? Why? Like, here's the deal, right? The passage that Jacob read, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. We have said that this teaching of Jesus, we're not going to go through all of it again, but it's the entrance fee into the kingdom, into Jesus, is I am a sinner. So why would I expect something else from someone? That's Jesus' expectation, is that you are a sinner, that you need help, that you're on the outside, that like your identity in itself is needing to be brought in and loved and cared for and shown how loved you are by him. This is amazing because no longer do you have to strive and create and build your own identity. You're receiving it in Jesus. You're receiving an identity, not that one you can create or make yourself, but one he gives you. Because the entrance fee isn't, look what I've done for you lately, look how impressive I am. It's, oh my word, I've messed up, or I've been hurt, or someone's hurt me, or I'm really tired of just trying to figure it out. I've got so much in my life and it just feels like I can't keep holding it together. Guess what? That's the entrance fee, neediness. This is why it's so beautiful news. It's good news for people who need loved, need cared for, need to be brought into him. It is so good. That means we don't have to pretend and hide anymore. That means, like, I'm not like, oh, well, everyone should do everything right. Like, no, the expectation is that we are sinners. We keep needing him daily. I need him more today. I need him more tomorrow. I need him more the next day. And so that means, yes, we slowly grow in trust and safety. And it's in that honesty where we keep putting, this is what's really going on. This is where I really doubt. This is where I really feel worthless. This is where I really hurt. That's the place the gospel needs to go more than anything. That's the place that you need to have the life breathed into you, injected truth into those places, and then experience that reality from others. So for example, this is just a small example of a gospel culture. In a gospel culture, we don't judge. We don't, like, I'm not talking to Verna, and Verna's feeling for me like, I can feel in him like, I am not enough. Like, I can't do that by definition, because if the entrance fee was I'm a sinner and Jesus has brought me in, I'm not, like, I'm that needy. And so we can't be off here cold being like, ah, or saying all these things to each other about other people. Oh, my word. Or we can't be a community that gossips. Like, gossip is just Ten Commandments, like, kind of thinking, meaning stealing. When you gossip about somebody, you're literally taking from them life. This is what happens, this is Ten Commandments stuff, where you're stealing from them who they actually are. Because Jesus comes and we see and he builds people up. He comes lowly and moves people. He builds them up in who they are, gives them identity, gives them purpose, gives them value, gives them, right? He's always building up. So when we gossip about somebody, it's taking, it's harming, it's hurting. A gospel culture become so shaped by Jesus that we don't even do that. And so what people taste and see is being cared for, being encouraged, laughing, joy. We're not burdens. And so it's yes, we take sin very seriously. I mean, Jesus goes to the cross and dies for it. But we get to be a people tapped into Jesus, a new kind of community that we like to say around here, because it's only a new kind because it's what Jesus is making. And we feel and know that man who is so gentle, so lowly, being so tender, and the word lowly, remember, approachable. Approachable. Because he's the savior of the world. And here's the thing. You can't do it on your own. It comes from the changed heart. We talked about John 15, right? The vine dresser, the priest and the gardener, the vine, the branches. that you aren't made to be in charge of the garden. You're not the gardener. You don't have to make all the choices. You don't have to do that. You don't have to carry the weight of all of that. And you're not the vine. You can't bring healing to somebody else. You can't produce the growth. You can't do that. It's not your job. It's not who you've been made to be. You're the branch. And the branch really matters because out of the branch comes the fruit. So fruit comes through the branches. But we said, this is my language, you can be real branchy by being like, hey, I'm kind of around the vine, but I'm not tapped into the vine. And so now I'm dry. And Jesus says, I cut off those vines. Why? Because he wants real fruit, which is love. Not judgment, not gossip, love, acceptance, identity that's given by Jesus. It's a new kind of community. But that has to come from the inside out. That's why gospel doctrine is so important. You need the injection of the truth coming into you. So we have union, we talk about, like the theological term union, that you are in Christ and his nutrients are coming into you when you're in him. And so that means his fruit is coming out of you. That's beautiful. That means, oh my word, the burden is off of you. You get to just take the joy. That's why we went to the eunuch, and the eunuch wants to be baptized. Why does he want to be baptized? Because he tasted life in Jesus. His response to, I'm an outsider, to the deepest places of my life, I need loved. I'm given acceptance and identity and love and forgiveness and care. Are you kidding me? That's joy. I want that. I need more of that. And so when someone comes to Emmanuel, they should taste joy. They should taste not a bunch of people so serious about everything in life as, I've got this now. That. No, life, freedom. And we all have things in our lives. We all have struggles and things, but we all are together saying the entrance was, I'm not together. I'm needy. That's the beauty of it. So beautiful. And here's the thing. The more I study this, the more I spend time with Jesus, I keep seeing, like, sometimes we think being with Jesus is like getting a driver's license. And it's in my mind because Emma got a driver's license recently. We think you just passed your driver's license test. I study the material. I take the class. I pass the written test. And I'm good. I got that prayer from Jesus, or I'm good now, or whatever it is. And sometimes I need a little bit of tune-up on some information, or I forget something. God, you know, like I am human in all, right? You know, it is what it is. I keep saying that because that term bothers me. This is not what Jesus teaches. He doesn't teach that it's just, hey, you passed the test. He doesn't teach that you got some information and now you're good. And so you kind of arrived. He says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden. And so here's the deal. As we keep growing as individuals in this knowledge of who Jesus is, the hard part is maturity is a difficult thing in this. Our old self likes to keep rearing its head. Our old self is like, yeah, but she said, oh, I feel this, I'm hurt, don't I belong here? I've done these things and so I am worthless. Or don't you remember? Like your old self keeps telling. And Satan knows exactly where that old self is, and he is a master at just lighten those fires. And you don't even then realize how far down you're that road. And then you're just angry and bitter and, wait, where am I? How did I get here? What happened? Old self doesn't own you when you're in Christ. Romans 6:6 says, for we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body is ruled not by sin, is done. Or sorry, for we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with. And then 2 Corinthians, Paul says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation, a new self. The old is gone, the new is here. So you, in Jesus, that old self doesn't run you anymore. But it will call back to you. It will be like, hey, like one writer talks about it, it's like a voice calling over the river to you. Like you hear the echoes of that voice and you believe them. And the truth in God's word, we need the doctrine injected in. That's not you. You were bought with the price, with his blood, given an identity at the deepest places of your life. You matter. You aren't worthless. Jesus sees you. You have so much to offer the world around you. You have a voice in Jesus. And the entrance fee is being needy. Oh my goodness. No wonder it's joy, right? We've said over and over again, the good news is good news for a reason. It's not lame news. It's not cold news. It's not like stoic news. It is good news to all of us. And so if you wake up tomorrow and you're like, oh, did I pass my driver's test? No. You're going to wake up tomorrow and you're going to be like, I feel the weight of the day. I needed an injection of truth of who God really is right now. Because my old self is calling me back. Each one of us has that stuff. Satan knows exactly the ways that you feel that or hurts that have happened in your life, and he loves to just poke. You need the injection of doctrine, real teaching, real Jesus, who he is, just like the Ethiopian, and that's the truth that you hold. A new kind of community is caught up in caring for each other in those ways versus judgment and gossip and do I have a place? No, we have a place in Jesus. So you can invite others to that place and show how loved they are. All right, I'm gonna wrap up. Last thing. Here's a question I'm inviting you to ponder this day. Real practical. The grace of Jesus, as we've seen and have been seeing, it isn't just passing a test. There's something wrong with us, the deepest level. And you need a whole new heart. And in that, we're given that in Jesus. And we're learning. We're growing. You're figuring it out. It takes time. And Jesus is so patient. He's so gentle. He's so kind. It's the heart of Jesus. We learn that in this series. And at the same time, where do you need less of yourself, old self, and more Jesus? New self, truth, doctrine. Where is it that Jesus might be asking you to be obedient to him in ways that you're like, I'm not, that's not what I really want to do. And more likely than not, it has probably something to do less about like an action and more about a belief about who he is and who you are. It probably has to do more of how you view God and view yourself than some actionable thing of like your hands. You'll get to that. But what is that truth for you to be obedient to God? Who is he? What is that truth you need right there? My invitation to you is to pray to that. Jesus, show me where I need to be obedient to you. And show me the truth and the power to step into that in you. Because you're tapping into the vine. Don't get all branchy. I got to figure it out. He's the vine. His job, he wants to heal you. He wants to breathe life into you. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for this little mini-series. And God, it's so good to know Man, our entrance fee, none of us deserve to be in here. None of us. If we put screens up and we had videos showing all of our lives and our decisions, there'd be a lot of embarrassment. And I'm probably at the top of the list. And you said, man, that's actually why I'm bringing you, because I know you need a new life. Thank you that we didn't come down here for the little tune-up. We came here because we need more of you and less of ourselves. We need your truth that shapes us, which frees us to say, hey, I'm sorry, I messed up. Or can you pray for me? Or I need more of this. And it also helps us see other people around us like, oh my gosh, I care about them. I care about them. So Lord, we pray that as we take this communion, these are your elements. This is your body, your blood. This is what you have done for us. You on the night when you were betrayed, you said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, you took the cup after the supper, saying, this is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Lord, we thank you for this table. We pray this in your name. Amen. As Nicole